Good morning. This morning's passage is from John 20, 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciples set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." But when she had said this, she turned and around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to be my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is a reading of God's word.
Thank you, Miss BJ. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You can ask Dr. Clifton if you don't believe me. I'm sure he'd agree with me, I hope, anyway, that one might think that preaching on a day like Christmas or Easter would be a little bit easier, but actually it's not. Because many people have heard these stories so many times. And so the preacher starts to think, what new can be said? What new should be said about Easter? And so preaching on Easter Sunday can be difficult, but I'll tell you what's even harder is doing a children's story on Easter Sunday. Have you ever been to a church where they have the children's story and you have the kids come up? Well, there's an incident that happened. The sweet pastor, youth pastor, was trying to get the kids to explain what Easter was, and it was just crickets. Can you tell us? Can you tell me why? Can anybody tell me why we celebrate Easter? What happened on Easter? Nothing. And you know, she could feel the sweat going down her back. Maybe you've all been there. And then finally, one kid has the answer. And he starts saying, well, on Friday, Jesus was killed, and they put his body in a tomb, and they rolled a stone in front of the tomb. And the pastor is just so relieved. And then what happened? And then 3 days later, They rolled the stone away, and Jesus came out and saw his shadow, and there were 6 more weeks of winter. So the children's story is always a little bit harder because you never know what they're going to say. But when I was thinking and praying about and meditating on the passage that we have here, the passage that BJ read, it got me thinking about world literature. Now, if you're like me and you haven't read any great works of world literature, but you might have seen the movie or read the Cliff Notes, you might know that a lot of famous stories begin on a low note. There's Kafka's The Metamorphosis, and the man wakes up and finds that he's been transformed into a giant verminous insect. And that story I do remember from high school because it was so creepy, Faulkner's short story, A Rose for Emily. It starts at Emily's funeral. And Camus' The Stranger, the opening line is, "Mother died today, or yesterday, I don't remember." But I was surprised, as I took a look at all of the gospel stories of Easter, of the first resurrection day, they are also downers. The story as it's told in Matthew starts with an earthquake and everybody's afraid. In Luke, the women enter the tomb, they find it empty, they meet 2 angels, and they bow down terrified. In Mark, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, get to the tomb, the stone is rolled away, a man in white robes tells them that Jesus is alive and is going to meet you in Galilee, go. And the women are so afraid that they go home and they tell no one. And today our story begins while it is still dark. And that hits in a curious way. Contrast that to the way that we started worship today, the way we greeted one another when we came in. I saw Marge in the parking lot, and I said, "Christ is risen," and got the, "He is risen indeed." Smiles, beautiful faces, and hugs, and this is a joyful day. Look at the sanctuary. Listen to the voices of the choir, to Mickey's music, a glorious white cloth here. Our call to worship, part of it was the beloved call and response, "Christ is risen, risen indeed." We sang, "Christ the Lord is risen today." But when we read our scripture for this year, and when we read any of the resurrection stories, they're not so joyful. But they are realistic. Because that resurrection morning, Mary, Peter, John, even though Jesus had told them that he was going to die, imagine what happened when they saw him die on Friday, when they saw his beloved body placed in a tomb, they knew he was dead. And in some of the resurrection narratives, the women come with spices to anoint the dead body of their dear friend. The resurrection story begins in grief. And this is what happens when you love people. I've come to know you. I know some of you in many other different settings. I know that many of us are sitting here in grief. For many of us, it is still dark. We look around the world and the name of Jesus is being used in ways that make a mockery of what it means to be a follower of Christ. We know dear people who are at the just the will of medical decisions that are being made by insurance companies that are more interested in financial gain than human life. Many of us are grieving losses that come with changes in our lives. We mourn the people who are no longer sitting next to us. We're worried about new diagnosis and upcoming surgeries. And some of us, well, our work can just be brutal sometimes. Not me. I work here, so not me. But the truth is that things are still dark. And the glory of Easter morning, the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today, that we sing about today, it's not a fairy tale. And so it doesn't make everything all better and shiny and happy and new. But it is the greatest miracle because it does bring hope where there seems to be none. And it does remind us that no matter what misery and death seem to be directing so many parts of our lives right now, that misery, that death, that is not going to have the last word. It doesn't eliminate the pain of being human, the pain of loving and living. But it calls each of us to remember and to remind each other that this whole resurrection, this day when we celebrate the truth that evil did not have the last word, that Jesus, that love did not stay dead, that love rose, it didn't just happen one morning, one day, hundreds of years ago. It happens every day. It happens every day. Life and love resurrected moment by moment. I discovered that I was getting old when I first started to pay attention to birds. I don't know if any of you have discovered that, but when I started to take an interest in birds, I thought, you're old now. And a few years ago, I realized that birds don't wait until the sun is up to start chirping. You notice that? When it's still dark, they start yapping about. They start singing in the morning, singing to the light that they know, that they can feel is about to come. And maybe that's our call. And maybe someday I can do it, but you can't. You could do it, but I can't. But if we all do it together, we don't need to wait for the light to be here, for the sun to be fully up, to seek and experience the truth of resurrected love. Hope in the middle of despair, love in the face of hate, abundant life in the face of death. Because Christ is risen every day, my beloved. And I invite you to say, Christ is risen indeed. Amen.